Welcome to Manufacturing Talk Radio, your source for breaking news, business trends, and economic forecasts here and abroad that impact one-third of America's economy. And now your hosts, Lou Weiss and Tim Grady.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio. We're going to have a lively conversation today because we are going to be talking about the Purchasing Managers Index that is provided out to the world by the Institute for Supply Management. It's our Institute for Supply Management's Report on Business series. We're going to be talking about the September number with Committee Chair Tim Fiore, who will join us in a moment. But Lou, you're a manufacturer and you're someone who watches these numbers have for decades, and it has been pretty solid in terms of what it forecasts. How are you holding up?
Well, can you see me from across the studio and see what I'm holding in my
yes.
hand?
Yes, I'm surprised it's not the entire bottle.
It's a martini glass, and that's how I'm holding up this morning about today's numbers. But I don't really want to blame Tim Fiore on this, even though he's the one who writes it up and so on. I am sure that this is going to be an interesting conversation, and I hope he can take some of my jabs about the new report.
Well, the president blames Fed Chair Powell, so we'll see what the real story is. Tim Fiore is the chair of the Manufacturing Report on Business, and we always are thrilled to have him on the show and go into a little more depth than the sound bites on mainstream media. Tim, welcome back to Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Yeah, hi, Lou. Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here on such an interesting day for sure. I mean, we disappointed. So from what I had seen yesterday, I think the consensus
was
a positive. Yeah, well, I guess it was 50.1 or something yesterday. Maybe this morning it might have been a little bit more optimistic. But we ended up at 47.8 and, down from a 49.1. We degraded 1.3 points. But I think the story is a lot clearer this month compared to last month. But it continues to be the same issue around lack of new orders. Without new orders, the manufacturing economy doesn't run. And, we all know that. And although the new order number, lack of new order number, is about the same as it was last month, the other three supporting sub-indexes that I watch for the new order number tell a more clear and interesting story.
So go ahead and let's get this over with so I can start beating up on you.
All right, let's go. So the three things I really look at to support the new order number is new export orders, backlog of orders, and customer inventory. So let's take the first one, customer inventories first. Rose to 45.1. That's really a measurement of how much inventory that I make my customer has sitting on their facility or in their storehouse to sell from stock, almost like a zero stock, zero lead time item. And we measure that from the standpoint of too low, just right, too much. And we're moving more into the just right number. When the number is in the too low number, that represents future demand for our production factory. So as we get closer to just right, then you can kind of come to the assumption that that avenue for production output is being shut off. So that's the situation with customer inventories, up from a 44.9, which was clearly too low last month. So moving in the wrong direction, then let's look at new export orders at 41, last month 43.3. So it's contracting faster than last month, which means that, and that has to have a direct relationship on new orders, because if you get a new export order, that's a new order. And with that decline in the 41.0, that's a harbinger. And unless that new order number gets up there, nothing recovers here. And so I think that's a direct relationship to the new order number. And it continues now. We've had three straight months of contraction. And 4 months ago, it was at 50.5. It was the same. So it's been stepping down. And there's no doubt that there's an issue there related to tariffs and trade. currency issues, and are just a general global slowing that we'll talk about later. The third factor that has me concerned is the backlog of orders. So, you know, you have 100 orders coming in, you ship 80, you have 20 backlog at the end of the month. Most people like to have a decent backlog, not a too big backlog, because then you're exposed to cancellations. A too short backlog, you really can't plan on raw material inventory deliveries. You can't plan on staffing levels. You can't plan on machinery and equipment expansions and our maintenance activity. So we're now down to the 45.1 backlog, down from 46.3. So that backlog is contracting, and it's contracting faster. So there's the three of them, right? Customer inventories growing too fast. We have backlog contracting faster, and you have new export orders contracting faster too. That's a significant change from last month, where I think the backlog contracted slower, and I think the new export order, a new export order contracted faster. I think the customer inventory number kind of went into the too low territory. So this time around, we have all three of the supporting sub-indexes being in the negative territory.
I can imagine within the next couple of hours, mainstream media is going to be wringing their hands and absolutely jumping all over what's happening, and that the world is coming to an end. We're being crushed. It from the political side, it's not going to do anybody any good, and I'm not using names. This is it could be reflective of the near term months going forward.
Yeah, well, you know,
let me just one more point. Even though typically September, October, November are good marketing and sales months.
And yeah,
this is
exactly.
Not an example of that.
No, that's why I was hopeful that the new order number would kind of pop up in September. Production would go
right.
With it. Didn't really think employment would change that much. Maybe stabilize at 50. Supplier deliveries at around 50. They're fine. Didn't really expect inventory number to drop that much. So, all right. So let's talk. So production and employment, the consumption piece of the PMI, both of those declined 3.3 points in total, but not a surprise. I mean, you're not going to produce stuff if nobody's going to take it. So, you know, and I think from the standpoint of employment, people have decided that they're not going to replace attrition, and you don't see an increase in put-ons and things. So the other, we'll come back to that employment in a minute. But so the other story is around supplier deliveries and inventories, the input side. So supplier deliveries at 51, that's essentially equal. They're not struggling that much, and you can see that through a lot of my comments. The lead times are reasonable, shortages are reasonable. A lot of comments here around suppliers being able to deliver more reliably and quicker. So, you know, and then no big surprise. And then you look at the prices index at 50, it kind of indicates that we're getting to a price stability between buyers and sellers too, which is the only positive really in this report, by the way. But let me talk about the inventory number. So, you know, we are a quarter close. Inventory has been contracting now for, this is the fourth month. We've been commenting now for months that supply managers are managing their input materials, i.e. inventory, to keep pace with the new order levels. New order levels have been flat to down for the last 4 months. So you can kind of accept that they're continuing to do that. And then on top of that, you got a quarter close issue here, where operations, manufacturing, supply chain people tend to be very, very diligent on how much they want received into their facilities during that last month of a quarter. You know, you got that too. But then, you know, the third thing here is that as a general manager, after watching a slowness softening going into a contraction in the manufacturing sector for 3 or 4 months, and you're sitting here in a business planning period where you're getting ready for 2020, I mean, there's three things that a general manager can control in terms of costs: plant and equipment, employment, cost, labor, and raw material inputs, you know, raw material inputs going into inventory. So, you know, there's not much you can do about plant and equipment. That's fixed costs. It's there. The next step is you shut off that raw material spigot so you're not investing your cash in material that you can't convert into sales. And the third thing you look at is employment. So I think the inventory number is seeing a bit of that. It's actually even seeing an oversight on the new order level and a general feeling that the new order level is not going to get better in the short term. So let's contract that inventory even tighter. And then on the employment side, I think as a responsible manager, you got to be looking at your employment levels going forward, especially into 2020. You never want to carry heads longer than you have to. We are in Q4 now. It is a holiday period, Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday periods. And you know people don't like to de-staff it during those periods. So as a responsible manager, you've got to be looking at your employment levels. And, you know, in fact, 29% of the employment comments were related to staff reductions, either through attrition or cancellation of put-ons, or even in some cases, factory layoffs. So it's happening. I mean, I don't find this a big surprise. We were hoping that September would have a bit of a rebound, but it hasn't. So I don't think that October or November will be any different.
That sounded almost like a prediction about October and November.
Yeah, I don't see any change. I mean, without new orders coming back, there's not much backlog now to burn off anymore. So, I don't see any improvement on the new export order side. So, and I don't think interest rate reductions or even quantitative easing is going to fix that. I think my feeling is it's a pure trade issue, and it's spread around the globe. I think I mentioned earlier that, you know, Germany's PMI is down to low 40s, and they're a big exporter to China. And China's PMI is still in a contraction mode. It's all related.
Yeah, it clearly is, Tim. I think that you made an interesting point pre-show when we were chatting, when the president is talking about interest rates being the problem. I don't know that if interest rates were at zero, that manufacturers would be building more plant because they're not up to capacity utilization now. But you had a number of interesting comments or a quantity of comments on tariffs. What was the percentage of comments on tariffs versus interest rates?
Right. So I've been tracking these tariff comments now since the whole thing started back in March of 2018. And at the point that steel and aluminum tariffs were disclosed back in March, 32% of my general comments were around tariff. Now, steel and aluminum is a big foundation element for many of the industry sectors and the manufacturing GDP. So, okay, big jump up. And then we had some emotional moves, when the China tariff situation developed back in August, a little over a year ago, we jumped up to 49-50% of the comments are tariff-related. Then we had a steady decline of those comments, culminating in March of 19 at anywhere from a 22 to a 17%. And I think at that point, the community felt that the China issue was going to be settled. There was a meeting planned, I think, in February or March with Chairman Xi and President Trump, and that they were going to find their way to a solution so we could at least move forward or at least understand what the ground rules were going forward. Well, when the Chinese made the statement that, no, we didn't agree to certain things, you recall, there was a big uproar around, well, you know, that's bad faith negotiating. We thought we had this agreed to, and you can't change your mind. The comments jumped back up to 41 to 46%. So, and then I think at the 46% level was in June, that's when we threatened Mexico on the border. So, look, you're a supply manager. You're managing the manufacturing company. Half of your comments are around trade issues. And what that does is it freezes your ability to make investment decisions. And I think we had a four-day reduction in our lead time for capital goods this month, which is a pretty – has actually capital goods increased 4 days in September. We have production material lead time drop 2 days, supporting the largest single drop last month in the last 3 years. There is just so much instability in the market here. I think the positive thing is that – in the month of September, there wasn't anything new announced about tariffs. That's why the comments are in the 28% level. If there had been something new announced, we probably would have saw something higher, more prospective, because a lot of the comments I get are about what am I going to do about this when that happens. I think we got a big step in October 15th with increased tariff amounts on well-known products. We have another big step on 12/15 on a lot of consumer goods. So, but I think the positive thing here is that there's nothing new.
The only, I think it comes down to all of really one point, and that is consumer confidence. And the consumer confidence is affected by everything that you just mentioned. And if the buyer doesn't have confidence, or the manager, the purchasing manager, doesn't have the confidence, he's not going to buy anything. And until people start believing that the world isn't imploding, this may go on for a while. I agree with you on that. And I'm seeing it. One of the comments from the miscellaneous manufacturing and the fabricated metal products, it's really a poor market for both those sectors, and that's a major part of what we do, and it's also a major part in the economy. So until the confidence comes back, we may want to take a break from Manufacturing Talk Radio.
That's funny. You know, you bring up a really great point there, Lou. So if I'm sitting here as a buyer, and normally what I do is I provide a forecast, and then I release orders out against that forecast so that suppliers can plan adequately and things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be really cautious about that forecast now, right, because I don't know. I mean, I'm going to have and even if I did know, I'm going to have a hard time selling my suppliers that it's going to grow. I mean, it would have to be tied to maybe a new product launch. If it's something that has been built for the last 2 or 3 years, and I say, oh, we're going to grow our demand 20%, I mean, if I'm a supplier, I'm going to be very skeptical about that. And then
right. The
other thing, if I'm managing my raw material inputs, I'm not going to send out release orders for delivery that are anything approaching in excess of what I really think I need. And with lead time shrinking, the supply base now is getting in a position where they can respond faster anyway. So where I normally might have placed an order for 15 pieces delivered in 2 weeks, I'll probably place an order for 5 pieces delivered next week. And, you know, and that's going to ripple through everything here, because nobody's going to, quote, invest or plan for the future.
Well, I have a brief story that actually occurred this morning. One of our sales people came to me with the project and said, they have a customer overseas that wants to buy 4 different forged units, 100 each, for a total of 400. And we quoted it, and they said, oh, good price. Okay, and if I buy only 10, will I get the 100-piece price? Well, it doesn't work that way. But the whole thing obviously was a con in the first place. He wanted to see our lowest price, and then hopefully he was going to be able to buy 10 at the same price. So there's all kinds of game playing going on in the marketplace. Needless to say, I'm not selling 10 pieces for the 100-piece price.
Yeah, but you know, if you'd said to him, look, if you give me the quote commitment for the 100 pieces, even though you only want delivery of 10 next month, I might be able to find a way to meet both your needs. Because what you want to do is go out and buy the raw material, right?
Would you like a job? Because that's the exact manner in which we are going to handle it. We call them the long-term agreements, LTAs. So yes, I'll sell you the 100 piece price, but you got to give me an order for 100 with the shipping schedule.
Right.
So
right.
That's going to be the response. We don't know what his response to that is yet, but you know that these kinds of things and these kinds of shenanigans go on in a weak market.
Well, your point is that nobody wants to get stuck with inventory, right, that then might not be able to convert into a sale.
That's exactly right.
And that's the focus right now. And I think our panelists are saying that we're actively working this really strong because we're contracting our inventory. You know, and usually when you see demand kind of evaporate, you have a strong supplier push to deliver what they thought they were going to deliver last week anyway, and you have a buyer-seller relationship. Because I know I told you that. I know you want to send me 100. I'll tell you what, I'll take 20. I know you got to kind of weed yourself off to get payroll to pay. But that's not what happened here. I mean, and that's a good sign, too, because as it means the supply chain is a little bit more nimble, even though we came off of this growth profile very quickly. It's not like we really had time to get nimble. And then what it really also says is that we have the ability to respond to increases in demand pretty rapidly because we don't have this big pile of inventory piled up somewhere.
Right, right. Well, this is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
All right, so let me talk about some positives here. And I'm searching. I got a couple of positives.
Good.
Okay, we're ready.
All right, and I think I mentioned this already. Hey, one of the positives here is prices. We're almost at 50. So, and we've been contracting for 4 months. I mean, 47.9 back in June, down to 45.1. So we're almost getting to a price stability, which is good. So we have a buyer and seller equilibrium. All right, that's good. That says, all right, we kind of understand where each other is. I mean, I know I'm reaching here, but okay, give that one to me, all right?
Yeah, okay.
and then we got imports at 48, still contracting, but that's better than 46 last month, you know, 47 the month before that. So there seems to be some activity on the import side. This is a big import activity period in Tony's side, right, because a lot of stuff coming in from Asia to stage for the holiday season. I think it's the biggest transportation period of the year for retail sales. Yeah, not so much on the manufacturing side, but in any event, although we're still contracting on the imports, we're not contracting as fast as we were, which is a positive, you know. That's about all we got in this report.
Let me ask you a question. You mentioned Germany being at 40-something. What about the rest of Europe? I mean, I know Germany is the powerhouse of Europe, but England, France?
Well, you know, I do get comments on what's going on in Great Britain.
Right.
Because I do have some companies that have operations in Great Britain. They, you know, they note the comment here around Brexit and uncertainty, but, you know, frankly, I don't know that anybody ever believes it's going to happen, and you know, this hard Brexit exit, it'll probably just be chaotic. So, you know, France is not doing so well. I mean, the export powerhouse, the one that's really integrated into the global economy, is really Germany. And the northern Italy has some great manufacturing companies that do export too. But, I mean, Germany is, what, 35-40%? GDP is exported. It's an export country, and they're at 41.4, you know, and that's worse in August at 43.5. So, you know, not doing well at all. And they provide a lot of capital goods, durable goods, into the manufacturing infrastructure, machine tools, rolling mills, you know, all that stuff that improves productivity. So that's definitely not a positive. You know, one of the other things that kind of alarmed me is that the state of affairs here and hot rolled steel in the U.S. we're now down to $5.40 a ton, and we still have tariffs outside of NAFTA in place. And you know, for me, the normal price of hot rolled steel short ton, somewhere around $6.30, $6.40. That's the normal price. We got as high as almost $1,000 a ton at the peak of the tariff period. We're now at $5.40, which says to me that, you know, it's weak. It's weak. I mean, the demand isn't there. I mean, we shouldn't be at 540. We should be at 620. And we're at 540, and it continues to kind of decline. Copper is still, you know, very weak. And that's a good surrogate for what's going on in the China economy. It's still very weak. So let me talk a little bit about the industry sectors as we close on this. So, you know, I usually talk about the activities, new orders, production, employment, da-da-da. Let me just add a little bit of color here on what's going on in the industry sector. So food and beverage expanded for the fourth month as our top expansion industry sector. It's the number fourth industry sector. It's somewhere around 11% of manufacturing GDP. Chemicals expanded too, but very softly. That's our number two industry sector. And it's a big export sector because of low-cost natural gas, our ability to convert that feedstock to basic and intermediate chemicals and export them around the world in bulk. The computer electronics area, transportation equipment, petroleum and fabric, petroleum and coal products, and fabricated metal products all contracted. The last two contracted strongly. Computer electronics and transports contracted modestly. I mean, and for computer electronics to be contracting when they are our number one sector, number one growth sector for almost 3 years, that's a bit alarming. You know, and you got to ask yourself, is that because of the trade issues with Huawei and China? And as we've all found out, there's a lot of product manufactured in the U.S. that gets exported to China, integrated into their systems, and then shipped around the world and maybe even back to the U.S. So, and there's licenses that are being held up, that whole discussion around Huawei and ZTE continues. And how much is that contributing? Looking into the new order number for computer electronics, it's contracting pretty strongly. You got to ask yourself, if the computer electronics sector was still expanding at the 55 level, would the PMI be above 50? I would tend to think that it very well could be. So, transportation equipment, although it's still contracting, it's not contracting as bad as it was last month. So I think that's a good sign. The other good sign is that, maybe not so good. The General Motors strike is not really reflected in any of our numbers. There weren't many comments that came in around that. It wasn't a big shift in transportation equipment. If the strike continues for three more weeks, I'm sure it will show up. If it gets resolved in a week, week and a half, I'll probably get comments around gearing back up, restaffing, stuff like that, turning the lights back on. So that's kind of it. I think we're, even our industry sectors are reflecting the fact that, hey, this isn't just one general industry sector. This is pretty much across all of the big six industry sectors, which make up 70% of the manufacturing economy.
I think that a part of what also is going to keep the potential growth to a low ebb, aside from trade wars, tariffs, and so on, and all the rest of the things we talked about, we now have a new topic that is going to be deflecting the interest level of manufacturers and people run businesses on a global level, and that is the I word, impeachment. I think it's adding more lack of confidence.
Well, I think everybody kind of agrees that in order to be successful with another term, you've got to have a decent economy, right? You definitely don't want to be into a declining economy for a long period of time. That really just hurts your plan. So,
right.
So maybe there'll be an offset here. Maybe we will figure out a way to call it a win-win with China and move on. I mean, that would be the single biggest benefit for the PMI is to resolve the China issue and remove trades and tariffs as a weapon to get your way for other than business reasons. I think that would all be very positive here, and then maybe it's just a question of timing.
I'm with you on it.
We'll certainly have to wait it out and see. Tim, we appreciate you being on Manufacturing Talk Radio. I'm guessing that, let me see if you'd agree with this, manufacturing is not in a recession, but is in a contraction.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're definitely contracting 2 months in a row. No, I would not say that we're in a recession, no.
Well, thank you for your comments, and we certainly will look forward to what you have in store for us next month. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Okay, guys. Great talking with you.
Thank you, Tim.
November.
You got it. You take care.
All right. So we've been speaking with Tim Fiore, who is the committee chair for the Institute for Supply Management's Report on Business. And this is an ongoing series that we are grateful to do with the Institute for Supply Management. And we have the two committee chairs on. Next up will be Anthony Nianis in a couple of days as his report comes out on non-manufacturing. And Lou will hope that that is a little more favorable, but who knows?
Who knows? And you can tell by my martini glass that this was the second fill-up. So I'm not real impressed with our current situation. But this too shall pass. Live through many of them. We'll all survive, and we'll just have to look forward to the next month or two.
So for all of those who've been listening, thanks for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can find all of our past episodes at mftalkradio.com. But that wraps us up for this episode of Manufacturing Talk Radio.
Thanks for joining us on Manufacturing Talk Radio. You can hear our next broadcast each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at mfgtalkradio.com.